Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:35. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is November 2nd. Well, what we're definitely seeing is that there's a narrowing in the polls of on the U.S. election. So the foregone conclusion that had largely been priced into markets is now being priced out of markets. So the S&P 500 further eroded initial support in here today. It was down about 2/3%. But in many respects, the US decline has been largely cushioned by the weakness of the dollar. The dollar has pulled back rather sharply, and that was most particularly against the yen, where it is now trading at 103 and 0.4, having been over 105 just a few days ago. So that did result in an almost 2% decline on the Nikkei, and also the second section has pulled back. And then in Europe, the euro was a bit firmer again in here today. Now, it was as high today as 111.23, and it closed out just a little bit less than 111. So it has now unwound its oversold condition relative to the MA. But what we have seen then is that for the vast majority of markets in Europe, they were all down in excess of 1%, but most particularly Italy, which was down 2.5%. So it is then not difficult to realize where is the epicenter of risk in Europe. It's most certainly in Italy, and not least also because those government bond yields, the BTP bond yields, are moving higher in here. They're totally dependent on ECB buying, and Italy issued a 50-year bond at the beginning of October, and it was 5.5 times oversubscribed. And now that will tell you just how much faith the investing or institutional investors had in the ECB extending its bond buying to much longer maturity bonds. But they haven't bought them yet, and they're going to have to start buying them if that yield is going to begin to contract. And of course, one of the things that the potential for so many of those European indices to be able to sustain moves up and out of their ranges and to sustain moves above their respective 200-day moving averages was that the euro would get weaker from here, and obviously that has not occurred over the last few days. So at least some unwinding of overbought conditions, and I think that that is true just about everywhere. So Amazon pulled back additionally in here today, and it is now looking increasingly likely that this is a full-blown reversion to the mean. Of course, there are two kinds of reversion to the mean: one where the price doesn't go anywhere and allows the moving average to catch up, and of course the other side is that it just pulls straight back to the MA and bounces. And so far, Amazon has been pulling back in a straight line. But also in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng has been outperforming the H shares and the A shares, but it was down almost 1.5% in here today, and it does look like now that that is moving into mean reversion territory, because by virtue of the fact that it has done so very well, then it is more at risk of a mean reversion. Perhaps the one of the best performing developed market stock indices has been the New Zealand index, but that has now completed a reversion to the mean. And if the very consistent advance over the last few years is going to be sustained, then it's going to have to bounce, and it's going to have to bounce soon. Of course, if we had dollar weakness in here today, that has been a bit of a tailwind for the precious metals. And gold got right up to the 1300 level, traded above it briefly, and is closing out just below 1300. The platinum price got all the way up to $1,003 and is actually closing out the day in mildly negative territory. These are two psychological resistance areas for those metals. It $1,300 represents the lower side of the overhead trading range for gold, and of course the big round $1,000 level for platinum is a potential, and in fact is at least a short-term source of resistance for platinum prices. Now, silver was as high today as 1875 and closed out the day at 1850. So we have had a The majority of these precious metals have pulled back from the highs of the day. And there is an enormous amount of uncertainty. Today is only Wednesday, and the US election won't be until Tuesday. So we can anticipate that there is going to be quite a bit of volatility. Now, well, I mentioned in past audios that at a number of school functions over the weekend that all people wanted to talk about was the potential for a Brexit type of vote to occur in the US when they've already seen evidence of something like that happening in the UK. And what people are now also talking about is that the final game of the World Series is today, and it could be it will be the end of a drought for either one of the teams, but most particularly the Chicago Cubs. They haven't won a World Series in a century. But what that also psychologically begins to assert for people, of course, is that the impossible really is possible. So we can anticipate that there is going to be additional volatility over the next few days. And most particularly, I think where we're seeing selling pressure in US indices is in the Russell 2000. It has pulled back rather sharply over the last few days. The S&P 500 is still trading around 2100. That's just about where the moving average is. And I think the 2000 level is perhaps a more important level overall. And we may well get that tested. This has also, because of this additional uncertainty, this has at least given some succor to the bond markets. So treasuries were relatively steady in here today, but gilts were up by a full point. And there is obviously the greater potential for quantitative easing in the UK in order to protect the economy, and that should act as a tailwind for bond prices overall. When we then take a step back and look at the wider commodity complex, we know that the precious metals did not hold their peaks, and they are a little bit overbought in the very short term. But oil prices were down by an additional dollar in here today. Brent was down just over a dollar, and WTI down $1.22. So this is extending the decline, and now it is testing both of these contracts are testing the progression of high reaction lows within their respective ranges. If they're going to bounce, then they're going to have to bounce pretty soon. Otherwise, then that it would break their progression of high reaction lows, and then it would open up the door to a deeper contraction overall. I've posted a number of lead indicators for, or at least coincident indicators for recession in Comment of the Day today, and what we can see is that there isn't any evidence that we are about to see a recession. What we do know, though, is that because commodity prices are rebounding, that by and large that is an indication that we are in the latter stages of an economic expansion. But of course, we don't really need that to tell us that, because we've had an economic expansion for much of the last 6 or 7 years. So therefore, these things don't last forever. But neither is there any evidence that it's over. And that would suggest that the resources sector and related sectors to infrastructure development and things that are really leveraged to global growth should be doing better in this environment. And the banking sector has broken out to a new recovery high for the year relative to the S&P 500 in the US. And we've also seen that banking sectors in Europe have been doing a little bit better. Now, obviously, the Eurozone's banking sector has got some very significant obstacles to expansion. But the S&P 500 banks index beginning to outperform the wider market really does indicate that they are in better shape overall. They will benefit from higher interest rates if that is indeed what happens. But of course, all bets are off really until we get the result of the presidential election, because we can anticipate that a lot of the hedge shorts that have been put on over the last few days would be unwound pretty quickly if Hillary Clinton wins. And on the other hand, if Donald Trump wins, then those hedge shorts would be vindicated, I suspect, at least in the short term. So we can anticipate a greater volatility, and then it is probably not the best time to be putting new money into the market, but rather to watch for deep oversold conditions to develop, because even in what some people might consider a worst-case scenario from the election result, then how likely is that to institute real change? And that is a very, very big question. So, and most particularly, and how much of an influence would it have on company balance sheets overall? Because we know from past experience that the rhetoric of presidential campaigns and election campaigns all over the world very seldom translates into clear action once the election and the excitement is over. So if we do get short-term oversold conditions, then that is likely to be an entry opportunity for, I suspect, a substantial number of autonomies in particular, but also for globally oriented companies, considering where we are in this cycle. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.